So Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, I stand before you this morning in a way that I have never stood before you before. I do not have my sermon written. I barely have an outline. I have struggled with this past week. And I ultimately decided that in this season of Advent, have had many more things to say than I could fit into a sermon. And so I've decided, as we end our year, to gather up some of these bits and to share them with you this morning. I would say they're odds and ends. That doesn't sound very good, does it? So I'm going to go over to England and use a phrase the English people use. I'm presenting with you bits and bobs. And I'm calling this the blessing of some bits and bobs. In 1935, Albert Einstein and some physicists discovered something that to them was unbelievable. They discovered something called quantum entanglement. And quantum entanglement is this crazy situation where if you take two particles of energy and you put them in close proximity, after a certain amount of time, those two particles of energy form a bond. They form an entanglement. And that entanglement cannot be broken. And they discovered this by taking one of these particles of energy and putting it in a laboratory on the East Coast, and another particle of energy and putting a laboratory on the West Coast. And then the scientists discovered that what they did to one particle immediately happened to the particle on the opposite coast. Immediately. This went again, Albert Einstein's theory of the speed of light being the quickest thing in the world, because the reaction of one particle to the other, separated by a continent, was instantaneous. Albert Einstein was so discombobulated by this that he used the word spooky to describe quantum entanglement. And I bring it up this morning because John the Baptist and Jesus had a form of quantum entanglement in their lives. As I mentioned on Christmas Eve, even before they saw each other with the physical eyes, when the baby John the Baptist, 6 months old, heard Jesus coming in his mother Mary's womb as Mary went into Elizabeth's house, the baby John the Baptist leaped for joy. Before they were born, there was a quantum entanglement between John the Baptist and Jesus. Now, the Gospels are very unclear about if John the Baptist and Jesus had many interactions growing up. We don't have those descriptions in our Gospels. But I have to believe that these two people who were so passionate about God and God's truth and proclaiming God's word and God's presence, that they must have played with each other as kids. They must have hung out as young adults. But we do know this. When Jesus presented himself to John the Baptist to be baptized, John said that he was not worthy to do that. And Jesus assured him he was. And as John the Baptist baptized Jesus, Jesus officially started his mission of love and salvation in this world as he started preaching and teaching. Now that might have been the end of the story of John the Baptist and Jesus. But as you heard in our scripture this morning, John the Baptist spoke truth to power. He spoke truth to Herod, knowing that Herod had married his brother's wife while his brother was still married to his wife. Jesus did this same thing with the religious leaders and the Pharisees. He spoke truth to their odd interpretation of the word of God. And because John the Baptist spoke truth to power, he was put to death. But look at the entanglement and similarities between the way John the Baptist was condemned to die and the way Jesus was condemned to die. Herod said, "Well, I'm putting you to death, but I really don't want to because you're a good man, but I'm putting you to death." And you remember what happened when Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate? Pontius Pilate said, "I can see no fault in this man. I really don't want to sentence you to death, but I'm going to sentence you to death." Both John the Baptist and Jesus died because they were proclaiming the love and grace and glory and truth of God. They had a quantum entanglement. But that's not the end of quantum entanglement. You see, our scriptures are based on the Old Testament coming into the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, in Psalm 139, I discovered quantum entanglement. Psalm 139, the psalmist says this to God: "You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and lying down. You are familiar with my ways. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." Now, if you said to King David that he was describing quantum entanglement, King David would have looked at you strangely. But isn't it amazing that the creator of the universe, the creator of every piece of energy and particle of energy in this universe, loves us fiercely and wants to be in relationship with us fiercely. And even when we turn away from him, he does not turn away from us. What an amazing thing that the love of God, which we describe as unending and grace-filled, is also a form of the energy that God created himself in this world. We are entangled with God in a form of quantum entanglement. And no matter where we go, no matter how many times we turn away from God, no matter how many times we sin, no matter how many times we believe we are unworthy, God is connected and entangled with us on a deep level, much deeper than we can possibly understand. So if we go to the scientist, Albert Einstein would call this quantum entanglement. And he would use the word spooky. But if we go to the scriptures, if we go to the followers of Jesus, we would describe this as God's unending grace and love being poured upon us. And we would not use the word spooky. We would call it miraculous. And so. So that's one of the bits and bobs that I wanted to share, the quantum entanglement bit and bob. The second bit and bob comes from the Reverend Tom Long. One of the many books he wrote is called Something Is About to Happen, and this is a series of meditations about Christmas season and Advent. I'm going to read to you from his book. These are his words, but see if you see any connections in these words to perhaps somebody or some place you're familiar with. There was once a Christmas pageant in a small church in which the part of the innkeeper at the Inn of Bethlehem was played by a high school student. He was quiet and polite, but he was awkward. so awkward in manner, awkward in social relationships, awkward in size. He was awkward in every way. His friends liked him well enough, but he was the sort of person who was easy to overlook and exclude. So when Jesus and Mary appeared at the inn in the Christmas pageant, he awkwardly stood in the doorway of the inn. And as Jesus and Mary requested lodging, this young man dutifully recited the one line he had, "There is no room at the inn." But as Mary and Joseph turned and walked away, going towards the cattle stall to give birth to the baby Jesus, the boy continued to watch them, and he was overcome with compassion. And suddenly, he responded with a grace beyond his awkwardness as he blurted out, "Wait a minute! Don't go! You can have my room!" I read those words and I thought of the grace of Royal Oak Community Church, and how you have been saying those words in this community for so long, and especially since the pandemic has hit. At a time when the pandemic has closed door after closed door after closed door, you have found a way to open doors and hearts and minds. And I just stand in such appreciation of your efforts. You, as a community, have been saying for the last year and three quarters, "Don't go! You can have my room. You can have our food. You can have our ministries. You can have our toys. You can have our Sunday school activities. You can have what we are offering, because you are offering it so beautifully and so freely." And the last bit or bob that I wanted to share with you is something that's been bothering me for a while. Bruce, I'd like you to get ready, but don't push any buttons yet. Okay.
What am I ready for?
Pushing the button.
I have one slide up.
Well, there you go. Yeah, we can just leave that on. What's been bothering me for so long has been when we look at the Christmas story, we see Jesus in the manger, and we see the angels looking and singing to Jesus, and we see the shepherds coming and worshiping Jesus, and we see Joseph and Mary leaning over and adoring and loving Jesus. But all of this energy is going towards the baby Jesus. But the baby Jesus came into this world to give energy to us. And I got to thinking, well, now wait a second. Okay, human baby born. But when human babies are born, there's a time after they're born when they are acutely aware of what they hear and what they see. When their eyes are looking to focus. When they are looking to make connections with the world they've been born into. And I got to thinking that what if we could go into the mind of the baby Jesus after he was born, we heard the baby Jesus saying to Jesus and Mary, and saying to the disciples, the shepherds, and saying to the wise men who would come, "Hello, I am so happy to see you." Because I think this is the heart of what Jesus did in his life. Over and over again in his life, he used these words, "Hello, I am so happy to see you." Now, you don't hear him saying these words in the gospel, but we do know when he was 12 years old, he got left at the temple and he was teaching the priests. And I can imagine Jesus sitting in the temple and the priest gathering around him to hear him teach the word of God. And I can imagine Jesus thinking, hello, I am so happy to see you. And then when Jesus met John the Baptist in the desert before he was baptized, I can hear Jesus saying these words, hello, I am so happy to see you. One of the first miracles Jesus did was go into the temple and cure a man with a withered hand. And because that man had a withered hand, he was excluded from worshiping in the temple because he was unclean. And I can just see Jesus thinking to himself, hello, I am so happy to see you and heal you so you can come back into my Father's house. When Jesus called his disciples, remember, he was calling the people that the rabbis did not consider smart enough. And I just think of the way Jesus called them and the way they responded so quickly that there was a dialogue unspoken between Jesus and each of his disciples, soul to soul, heart to heart. Hello, I am so happy to see you. We know that there was a Roman centurion that came to seek Jesus to heal his servant. And we know that Roman centurion did that under pain of death had he been found out. And yet I believe that the soul of the centurion and the soul of Jesus had a connection where they said to each other, hello, I am so happy to see you. And when Jesus walked up to the lepers who had been excluded, the lepers who had been shunned, the lepers who people ran away from, can't you just hear the soul of Jesus talking to the souls of the lepers and saying, hello, I am so happy to see you. I think over and over again in our gospel stories about Jesus, what brought Jesus into our world and what helped Jesus move into every situation, whether it was healing or miracles or preaching or lifting up the little children, was Jesus singing in his soul, hello, I am so happy to see you. Hello, I am so happy to see you. And even on the night before he died, we know that the apostle Judas betrayed Jesus. And he went up to Jesus at the Last Supper and said, Lord, is it me? Now we know Jesus' words were, do what you must. But I do believe Jesus was saying also, hello, I am so happy to see you as I do my Father's bidding. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus sweat blood, I know Father God was saying, hello, I am so happy to see you living into this mission. And Jesus saying, hello, I am so happy to see you that you are here with me as I suffer these sufferings. So throughout the life and death of Jesus, I just was thinking that the untold part of the Christmas story was the baby Jesus being happy to be in this world, being happy to serve his Father's will, being happy to give his life for us, and being happy to be in connection again and again. And so I would urge you, when you are feeling alone, when you are feeling tired, when you are feeling distressed, we pray to God, and we are saying our words to God. But what if you took a moment before you started praying? And what if you let your soul hear the words of Jesus? Because Jesus is always ready to say to us, hello, I am so happy to see you. On Christmas Eve, I preached, the angels are singing on high. Can you hear them? And I would like to ask you now, Jesus is saying to each of us, no matter what our situation, over and over again, hello, I am so happy to see you and be in love with you and connect with you. Jesus is speaking. Can you hear him? Can you hear him? And so we give thanks that Jesus comes to us, lifts us up, redeems us, and loves us. In Jesus' name, amen.